Good evening, Landmark family. For those of you who already know me, you already know me. For those of you who don't, my name is Rick Groves. I am the pastor for the Salt and Light Ministry here at Landmark, which is the group of individuals that have at least 50 circles around the sun. A great group. Absolutely love each and every one of you guys, so shout out to all of you, and a shout out to all of my Landmark family, even those who may just be watching Landmark and haven't attended yet. We invite you to do so. You know, many neurologists, many neuroscientists, believe that evil does not exist, that evil is not an entity, but it's a medical condition. So you have people like Stalin, Hitler, Jeffrey Dahmer, Saddam Hussein, Bin Laden. It's, in their estimation, just a brain malfunction. It's an imbalance, something that can be covered and corrected with medication. You know, there's a quote that you've probably heard many times. The greatest trick the devil has ever pulled was convincing the world he does not exist. Well, let me tell you. Anybody who believes that evil does not exist is incredibly deceived, because Satan is a real entity. Satan is a real personage. Satan was an angel. He was Lucifer. He was the angel of light. He was a musician. But he had a problem with ego. He thought he was more than what he was. We'll talk about that in just a little bit. You know, the mainstream media talks a lot about systemic racism, and I'm not going to go into that tonight, but what I will tell you that there is absolutely systemic evil. If you examine the agendas and the goals of those that are out there, and you look at what is happening behind the scenes, it's like they are puppets manipulated by a puppet master. And that puppet master is Satan. Listen to what is said, and then also listen, even more importantly, to what is not said. In 1 John 4:1, and I'm going to give you a lot of scripture tonight, so don't necessarily try to keep up, but if you want to, then you can certainly pause the video and turn to the reference. But I'm going to give it to you here pretty quick, because I think in a Bible study that the scriptures should speak for themselves. Beloved, do not believe every spirit, 1 John 4:1, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God. For many false prophets have gone out into the world. And those false prophets are embraced by the world. We've got politicians, entertainers, reporters, scientists, thought leaders, influencers. You know, the sad thing that I have learned through my life, and it is supported by documented studies, that if you hear something often enough, or if you even repeat it to yourself often enough, you eventually believe that to be true. Lies can be perceived as truth, and that is the greatest weapon that Satan has. He is a deceiver. In Jeremiah 23:16, it says, "Thus says the Lord of hosts, do not listen to the words of the prophets who prophesied to you, filling you with vain hopes. They speak visions of their own minds, not from the mouth of the Lord." Then in 2 Timothy 4:3-4, it says, "For the time is coming." And I believe that time is now. There's certainly ample evidence of it. "When people will not endure sound teaching, but have itching ears." Itching ears. "They will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions, and will turn away from listening to the truth and wander off into myths." You know, we're definitely in an end time battle. And battles involve armies. You're in the army now. You volunteered when you said yes to Jesus. In 2 Chronicles 23 and 10, it says, "And he set all the people," how many? All the people, "as a guard for the king, every man with his weapon in his hand, from the south side of the house to the north side of the house, around the altar and the house." So they were defending the altar and defending the residence, where they lived and where God abided and where they worshiped God. So you're going to fight this battle, soldier. Gear up. Tonight, we're going to be talking about weapons of war. And I want to thank you, before we get started really into the meat of it, for your obedient generosity, the giving that you continue to bring into our house. God's government was set upon a certain premise where there would be a tithe, bring you all the tithes into the storehouse, and to bring offerings. And we honor that, and we thank you for that. You can do it online. You can hopefully do it in person here on Sundays when we have our live service. You can drop it off at the office, put it in the mailbox. However you want to deliver it, we just thank you for that, for your generosity, because that's what keeps the house going. Father, I just thank you for this time that we have together. And I thank you for our wonderful people that you have assembled with us, Father. We just thank you for the family that you have drawn together in your church. We just ask you, Lord, that our minds would be open, that our hearts would be receptive, that your Holy Spirit would flood this teaching, Lord. I just thank you and ask you for the anointing to bring it as you have given it to me. And I just thank you, Father, that you are indeed in control of all things, and you are our King. You are our Lord. Oh, you are our Savior. We just thank you for that in Jesus' name. Well, I'm going to probably not bring you anything new tonight, but I do want to remind you of some of the basics, and I want to admonish and encourage you to act, because as James 1 and 22 says, it tells us to be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. So what it's saying is, if we hear the word but we don't act on it, then we are deceiving ourselves. And who is the deceiver? Satan is the deceiver. That is his tool. For us to hear and not act is not godly. It is the will of the enemy for our life. So there's going to be quite a bit of meat that's given. And one thing I am so happy about is that we have a pastor who feeds us meat. She's been feeding us incredibly well. Hebrews 5, 13 and 14 says, "For everyone who lives on milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, since he is a child. But solid food is for the mature, for those who have powers of discernment, trained by constant practice to distinguish good from evil." Now, Christians are not pacifists. Christians are bold. They are meek, not weak. Now, sometimes meek is misunderstood. Jesus was meek, but what the word in Greek actually means is great power under control. Now, Jesus was meek, but he was far from weak, and we are made in his image. Therefore, we are bold, we are strong, we are meek, knowing that we are not anything at all what God's perfection would be, but we know that we are of God, and that God within us has that ability to strengthen us, to encourage others, and to do everything that he has called us to do. Now, the word sword or swords, and I use the ESV, so almost all of these verses that I'm going to give you will be coming from the ESV, is mentioned 448 times in that translation. So battle is certainly on God's mind, and he prepares us in numerous ways. In Psalm 144 and 1, one of my favorite psalms, it says, "Blessed be the Lord, my rock, who trains my hands for war and my fingers for the battle. Now, what kind of battle are we in? You know, it's not that we're going to be going out and, you know, rioting in the streets or harming other people physically. We are in a battle of the Spirit. Hebrews 11:3 tells us, by faith, we understand that the universe was created by the Word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things that are visible. 2 Corinthians 10:3 says, for though we walk in the flesh, we are not waging war according to the flesh. So what we see is not total reality. If you remember that old movie, The Wizard of Oz, there was a scene where you had the wizard who was behind the curtain, and the curtain opened. Dorothy the Scarecrow and the Cowardly Lion saw him and pay no attention to the man behind the curtain. But there is a man behind the curtain, and we should be paying attention to him. But this war that we are in is not physical. It's spiritual. And who we fight against is Satan and the influence of his fallen angels, the demons that fell to earth. In Isaiah 14:12-14, it talks about this. It says, how you are fallen from heaven, O day star, son of dawn, referring to Satan. How you are cut down to the ground, you who laid the nations low. You said in your heart, I will ascend to heaven above the stars of God. The stars of God were the angelic host. I will set my throne on high. I will sit on the mount of assembly in the far reaches of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will make myself like the Most High. The devil wants to replace God, but he'll never, ever be able to. Revelation 12:3-4 says, and another sign appeared in heaven. Behold, a great red dragon with 7 heads and 10 horns, and on his head 7 diadems. His tail swept down a third of the stars of heaven, a third of the angels, and cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman who was about to give birth. He stood before the nation of Israel and the creation of Jesus Christ through the Virgin Mary, so that when she bore her child, he might devour it. He wants to eliminate anything that is godly so that he can reign instead. Ephesians 2:1-3 talks about his rule in the world at this point for a short period of time. And you were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked. That was us. Following the course of this world, the way that the world currently operates, following the prince of the power of the air, which would be Satan, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, like the rest of mankind. We are a remnant that has been pulled out for refining. There is a world that has given itself to the desires of Satan and supports his cause. He is the great deceiver, and these people are deceived. That is why the Word of God is so important to save as many as could be saved. Jesus himself, in John 8:44, says, you are of your father, the devil. He's talking to the Pharisees. And your will is to do your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning and has nothing to do with truth, because there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks out of his own character, for he is a liar and the father of lies. So we fight against deception, and there is a beauty in the evil that is being presented to the world, which is why it is so alluring to so many. 2 Corinthians 11, 14 and 15 says, "For even Satan disguises himself as an angel of light. So it is no surprise if his servants also disguise themselves as servants of righteousness. Their end will correspond to their deeds." Some of the entertainers that are out there, the actors, the actresses, are so physically beautiful. You see the people who are on the newscasts. They sound like they're authoritative, that they know what they're talking about. But there is an agenda of evil that is out there. Isaiah 5, 20 and 21 says, "Woe to all those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness. Woe to those who are wise in their own eyes and shrewd in their own sight." We have a worship. You know, everybody has a God. I don't care if people say that they are an atheist, then they are worshiping the God of no God. They are worshiping the God of the media, the God of education, the God of science, the God of technology, whatever it may be. And some of those things are very good. It's not a one-size-fits-all that it's always evil, but there is a tremendous amount of evil that is out there. Remember, the Word tells us that the way of righteousness is narrow. The way to destruction, the way to hell, is very broad. There's a lot of people that are taking that path. God equips us for this battle that we're in. And in 2 Corinthians 10:4, it says, "For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but have divine power." Divine power to destroy strongholds. Ephesians 6, 13 and 17. If you've been a Christian for more than a day, you're probably familiar with this. "Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. Stand, therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God." You know, we're infantry. If we were dressed in the armor by today's standards, you know, what you would probably see is that that belt of truth would be a duty belt. You know, one like the police would wear, like the military would wear. We would have on a plate carrier so that there would be a vest that would have steel plates in it that would stop bullets. Shoes would be replaced by combat boots. The shield of faith. I'm sure that you saw on the news the riot shields that the police officers would use so that you can extinguish all the flaming darts. Well, you know, again, what is in the physical represents what is in the spiritual. So if you remember the Molotov cocktails being thrown, the fireworks being thrown, those shields protected the police from that. The helmet of salvation would be a combat helmet. Protects the head even in the case of a nearby explosion. A grenade can go off and it might affect the body, but the head will probably be okay. It's a tremendous defense that we have. And the sword of the Spirit would probably be what they call a SCAR, a small caliber assault rifle. You know, it would be an M4, a fully automatic weapon that can send a lot of bullets in a very short period of time against an enemy to protect and defend. So we're the infantry. But the Holy Spirit is an atomic bomb. There is no stopping the Holy Spirit. And if you'll notice, we have multiple protections that's talked about in this passage of Scripture. We have a belt, a breastplate, shoes, shield, helmet. But we have one weapon the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God. John 1 and 1 says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." And it explains it even further when we get down to verse 14. "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen His glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth." That sword that we have, we are wielding the power of God. We are wielding the power of Jesus Christ. We are His emissaries. We are His army. We are His host here on earth. And we understand that. The world doesn't. 1 Corinthians 1:18 says, "For the word of the cross is folly to those who are perishing," those who are going to wind up in that lake of fire, "but to those who are being saved, us, it is the power of God." So how does Scripture describe the Word? In Jeremiah 23 and 29, it says, "Is not my Word like fire, declares the Word, and like a hammer that breaks the rock in pieces?" Hebrews 4 and 12, I'm sure you're familiar with this one, "For the Word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and of spirit, of joints and of marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart." Using the sword of power that we are given, the Word, the Scriptures that we are given, when we understand and we take this Word into our heart, we wield that sword with power and authority. So in the military, you've got a little bit of intel that takes place. 1 Peter 5:8 says, "Be sober-minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to destroy." So we know that we've got a beast on the prowl, an enemy on the prowl that is out there. We need to be aware and we need to take action against. Jeremiah 50:25 tells us that. It says, "The Lord has opened His armory and brought out the weapons of His wrath. For the Lord of God of hosts has a work to do in the land of the Chaldeans." He has a work to do in the United States, a work to do in America. And He's going to do it through us. Why? Because in Jeremiah 51 and 20 says, "You are my hammer and my weapon of war. With you I break nations in pieces. With you I destroy kingdoms." So some truths to remember is that Satan and his fallen angels are ancient entities, and they do have real spiritual power. And they use that spiritual power for evil and for selfish purposes. Lucifer wants to gain the throne. They are the enemy of Christians everywhere, and they seek our destruction. If they can kill us, you know, for the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. You know, the steal, he wants to take away the gifts, the blessings, the anointings that we have. He wants to kill us physically, and he wants to destroy us eternally. But we're destined for heaven. We just have to keep our armor on. We've got to use our weapon at the appropriate time. We've got to stay focused on what God would have us do. The other thing is that Jesus and Satan are not equal opposites. It would be a very big mistake to see them as equal. That'd be giving Satan far more credit than he's due. Satan is a creation, not a creator. No angelic beings, fallen or righteous, come close to matching the might and the power of Jesus Christ. So be vigilant at all times and stay prepared. You know, many of us that were raised in Western culture, we're blind to the spiritual realities and the unseen forces. We might read about them, we might discuss them, but very few of us actually engage them. We do have some prayer warriors in the church. Thank you. I wish we had more. But by not being aware, we can certainly leave ourselves open and vulnerable to spiritual attack. The quickest way to lose a battle is to not realize that you're in one. So the power of Jesus is far more than the words on the page. It's far more than the hope of eternal life after we die. There's a spiritual battle that's taking place every day all around us. And to be effective, we have to lean into prayer. Pray unceasingly. We have to attune our hearts to the presence of God. And we have to develop discernment as we seek to do the work of our Father. Our enemy is great, but our God is far greater. Now, we have immediate access to the sword. Deuteronomy 30, 11 through 14 says, "For this commandment that I command you today is not too hard for you, neither is it far off. It is not in heaven that you should have to say, 'Who will ascend to heaven for us and bring it to us, that we may hear it and do it?' Neither is it beyond the sea that you would say, 'Who will go across the sea and bring it to us, that we may hear and do it?' But the word is very near you. It is in your mouth and in your heart, so you can do it." Romans 10:8, New Testament, says the word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. The word is by our spoken words. 1 Kings 17:24 says, "I know that you are a man or woman, God is no respecter of persons, and that the word of the Lord is in your mouth, and it is truth." Jeremiah 5:14, "Therefore thus says the Lord, the God of hosts, because you have spoken the word, behold, I am making my words in your mouth a fire, and this people would that the fire shall consume them." The military has protocols. So one of the things that we need to do is adopt protocols as well. 1 Timothy 4:7 talks about selectivity. Well, we could call it discernment. "Have nothing to do with irreverent, silly myths. Rather, train yourself for godliness." Study. 2 Timothy 2:15. "Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a worker who has no need to be ashamed, rightly handling the word of truth." 2 Timothy 4:2, "Speak. Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort with complete patience and teaching." And so importantly, James 4 and 7, "We stand. Therefore, submit yourselves to God." Jeremiah 22:29 says something that I want to declare over the United States of America. It says, "O land, 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 hear the word of the Lord." You know, we have heard many times, you know, "Let the redeemed of the Lord say so." Well, maybe we ought to have a time now where "let the redeemed of the Lord say no." We are not going to participate in the evil of the land. We don't want to see babies murdered. We don't want to see the defunding of the police. What a ridiculous idea. We don't want to see mayhem and rioting in the streets. We don't want to see businesses destroyed because somebody is a little upset over something. This is supposed to be the land of the free. It's not the America I was born into. It's the America that Satan is directing toward becoming part of a new world order. It's time for Christians to say, "No, we're not going to do that." There was an old comedy show that I used to watch when I was much younger, when I was not a Christian. But there was a line on there that I really liked. It says, "Homie, don't play that." Well, you know what? Homie, don't play that. We are Christians. We have moral values. We stand for something that is true and is eternal. Let the redeemed of the Lord say, no. I'm going to ask you to pray this prayer with me. This is one that was written by Dr. David Jeremiah, but I think it's incredibly appropriate. Heavenly Father, your warriors prepare for battle. Today we claim victory over Satan by putting on the whole armor of God. We put on the girdle of truth. May we stand firm in the truth of your word, so we will not be a victim of Satan's lies. We put on the breastplate of righteousness. May it guard our hearts from evil, so we will remain pure and holy, protected under the blood of Jesus Christ. We put on the shoes of peace. May we stand firm in the good news of the gospel, so your peace will shine through us and be a light to all we encounter. We take the shield of faith. May it protect us from Satan's fiery darts of doubt, denial, and deceit, so we will not be vulnerable to spiritual defeat. We put on the helmet of salvation. May we keep our minds focused on you, so Satan will not have a stronghold into our thoughts. We take the sword of the Spirit. May the two-edged sword of your word be ready in our hands, so we can expose the tempting words of Satan. By faith, your warriors have put on the whole armor of God. We are prepared to live this day in spiritual victory. Amen. Well, again, keep our pastor in your prayers for a quick and speedy recovery. We are just so appreciative that we have a shepherd who loves her flock so much, who is attentive to the word of God, who preaches without any concern for what the world may think is politically correct. She teaches us what is biblically correct. Love her for that. Not every church, unfortunately, has that blessing. And for blessings, I bless each and every one of you. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Remember, we are going through a tough time in America. We're going through a tough time in the world. It's not just us. Tough times pass. Tough people last. You're a tough people. You're a chosen people. You're a peculiar people. Some of you a little more peculiar than others. Love all of you. Love me because I'm peculiar. And I'm thankful that God made each and every one of us the way he made us. So adorn yourself in the full armor of God and wield that sword. In Jesus' name. Love you all. Hope to see you on Sunday. Thank you for joining us on Facebook. And be blessed. Have a wonderful rest of the week. Love you.